Lord for His faithfulness to me. And as I often say, all of us could say the Lord's been faithful to us because He really has been. Whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not, the Lord's been faithful to all of us. And the key is, have we been faithful to the Lord? That's the question. Help us to be faithful to the Lord. We desire that you pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We want to turn to Hebrews, the third chapter. Start at the sixth verse, Hebrews 3, verse 6. Christ is the Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Continue.
Wherefore,
as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, they proved me, and they saw my works 40 years. They were putting the Lord to the test. Okay, wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my way. Do you know the Lord can be grieved with a generation? Not just one or two people, but in an entire generation, the Lord can be grieved with the way, the trend of that generation. And we don't want to be in a position where the Lord is grieved with our generation. But do you know, I believe the way that the Lord would not be grieved, it has to be that somebody is praying, Lord, help us in this time right now. All right? Continue to read. Down to the 14th. Swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now we started out with that. It says in the sixth verse, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Now, what I want to talk about is holding fast firm unto the end. I want to talk about today, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, I remember when I was a young person, maybe in my late teens and whatnot, and we got together as young people, and there were a lot of young people that were saved, and it was encouraging to go to camp meetings, and it was encouraging to see other young people, and a lot of times, the reason I wanted to go to the camp meetings wasn't necessarily to hear the preachers, it was to see my friends. It was to go, and I know the Lord used that. I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong, but I believe the Lord used that to encourage us that there is somebody here that's going through the same kind of battles that we're going through. There's somebody here that is young and they're encouraged. And I'm encouraged when I see them stand up and they give a testimony or just sing a special, or we get together in some kind of a way. And I look back 40 years ago, or not quite 40 years, 35 years ago, and you know, I see that those that were strong and steadfast during that time, my teenage years, on into my 20s and whatnot, those that were strong and steadfast, and I look, and where are they? Where are they? You know, the reason you get saved is not to just get out of trouble. The reason you get saved is, I want to go be steadfast all the way to the end, Lord. I want to hold firm my confidence in you, not just now, not just for the next couple of years, not just for the next 10 years or 15 years. That's good, but it's not good enough. I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't know when the Lord's going to call me. So I've got to be steadfast. I've got to be hold my confidence. I've got to hold everything, not just now, but all the way through till the Lord calls me. Saints, I want to encourage you that way. I know all of us can probably have testimonies that way. I remember when we moved to Seattle and whatnot, and there was a group of young people not too far from there, lived up there, and they were so zealous for the Lord, and it seemed like they were on fire when you were in a service. They were just an encouragement, and I used to look at them and I used to say, you know what, Lord, I wish I had the emotion that they had. I wish I had the zeal that they had. I wish I could just stand up and shout and run. I never could do that. It just seemed like like it was not in me, as emotional as I am. Thinking in my mind of what kind of person I am, the Lord, I probably know why the Lord didn't let me do that, but I won't share that with you. But I would think, Lord, I'm excited too, and all I can do is just stand there and clap, or but I can never run, I can never shout, I can never do the things that other people did for the most part. But the Lord knew me. And I would look at them, and I'm not saying I'm envious in any way, but I'd look at those individuals, and I'd say, you know, Lord, I wish I could do that. I wish I was like that. And this was in my younger days. I don't do that now. But you see what I'm saying? You probably had some of those kinds of places, right? Haven't you? No doubt. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But here's my point. We've got to not just do that then. We got to do it now. And you know what I've learned? You know the story about the tortoise and the hare? The rabbit ran and he took a nap, and the tortoise just kept going, just plodding along and just plodding along. Who won the race? It is no race, really, if you put a rabbit up against a turtle. There's no race, you know. They're going to run from here to there. The rabbit's going to beat them every time. The rabbit will beat you. But one of the things that you learn from that parable that we learned as children is that if you just put one foot in front of the other, if you just keep going, no matter how slow it is, doesn't matter how fast they're running up, and you're looking at them and you're saying, Lord, I wish I could be up there. You will be up there if you keep going. You will be where they are if you just hold fast your confidence firm until the end, one foot in front of the other. You don't have to run like everybody else. You don't have to be zealous like everybody else. You don't have to be emotional in your experience like other folks that you're looking at and maybe desiring to be like that. What you need to be is consistent. You need to be one foot in front of the other, just like the tortoise, and before you know it, plodding along, 20 years later, you look back and you're still determined, have your eyes on the goal, and you're going to make it. If it kills you, you're going to get to heaven. You know what? That's my determination. And I don't look at the folks that have fallen on the wayside. I don't look at them. I don't envy them. I don't desire to be like them. And those folks that I am looking at are the ones that I know that, listen, if they can do it by the grace of God, then be some good, solid saint, then I can be a good, solid saint as well. God is no respecter of persons. I can do whatever it is that is required of me because I've got to make it to heaven. I didn't get saved just to have a good life. I got saved to make it all the way through. And I know it's going to be some obstacles. I know it's going to be some problems that I'm going to go through. But you know what? I'm going to be firm unto the end. I'm going to be steadfast by the grace of God. And I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you are going through, you just hold steady. You just be consistent. And you know what? You have the victory. It's not, I hope I can have the victory in the end. The fact of the matter is, no matter what trial I'm getting ready to go into, no matter what trial I'm in, I know that all I have to do is hold my confidence firm to the end of the trial, and I'll get through it with victory. It's not going from trial to trial. It's going from victory to victory. By the grace of God. You can do that. And I want to encourage you that way. So what did he say? But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? He's our authority. He's the one that's concerned. You know, I am the responsible party of my own house. So if there is some problems in my home, then you know where the buck stops. The buck stops here. I'm responsible, no matter what it is, and whatever the problem is. If it's something that my wife needs, then you know whose responsibility it is to make certain that she has it, and it's an absolute need. It's mine. And in the same way, as Jesus said, but Christ, as a son over his own house, he's responsible for his own house and his own household. Whose house are we? We belong to him. We're under his authority. When there is something that we need, he is responsible for making it available to us. If I need more grace to go through a trial, if a person has a short temper and they have a problem with temper, do you know what? You're in the Lord's house. So what do? You go boldly to the throne of grace that you may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know what? Sasha and Malia have full of rights to their father, don't they? They can get him to do things. Our president, they can get him to do things that nobody else can get him to do. And they have audience with him, don't they? You know why? Because he's the responsible party. So this is a very important man. But let me tell you, one of those little girls needs that man. That man is going to drop whatever it is, and he's going to go to their rescue. Why? Because that's his blood.
Yeah.
All right? Now, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose house are we? We're his house. If we are in need of something, do you know the Lord will drop, so to speak, everything that he's doing and come to our need, because he said, I'll supply all of your need according to your riches and according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said he'd give us everything that we need. Need more grace? You need more love? You need a longer temper because yours is so short? Lord, give me a better temper. You need a better attitude? The Lord can do that for you. The Lord can give you whatever it is that you need. Hold firm to the end, saints. Hold firm, all right? But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, you know what? The rejoicing. I saw a lot of folks in camp meetings back in the day. There were a lot of folks rejoicing. They were rejoicing and shouting, and some folks kind of get in the mood when everybody else is in it, and they get excited because somebody else is excited, and they get the rejoicing, but you got to rejoice now. What about now? What about 30 years later? What about the time that you've gone through the wilderness, you've gone through the hard places? Can you rejoice then, firm to the end? Can you hold that rejoicing? Lord, help us. That's what counts. Not so much what you did yesterday, it's what you're doing today. And do you know what? We look at all of this and we understand that what we're dealing with is, you know what? How I got to where I am today is just like the tortoise. Just like the little turtle, just one foot in front of the other. Didn't seem like I was making much progress. Have you ever been in those kinds of places? Lord, it doesn't seem like I'm making much progress. Doesn't seem everybody else seems to be running ahead of me, and it seems like they're rejoicing and I'm fighting to make the next step. It doesn't matter, does it? What matters is that you hold on and you make that next step. And you keep going by the grace of God. Wherefore, it says that we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Are you holding it firm to the end? All right. All right. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, you know what happens in our lives, you know, when you're saved, when you get saved, you have to listen to the Lord's voice, don't you? And it's not always coming through, sometimes it comes from the pulpit, sometimes it comes from people, like Sister Sheila brought out, sometimes it comes from people that you don't even know. The Lord can speak to you through other folks, and he can speak to you through nature. He can speak to you any way that he chooses to speak to you, and when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So our responsibility is, when we know the Lord is dealing with us about a particular matter, don't find a place of justification, because when we justify, well, I don't believe I have to do that because nobody else is doing it and I don't really see what the point is anyway and I'm not going to do that. What happens is you begin to justify yourself, and as you justify yourself, you're really rebelling against something that you know God has spoken to you about. Now, if I said it, it's okay for you not to do it. You don't have to do anything I say. But if the Lord said it through me, you're responsible for that. All right? And you need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Don't be in a position where you are actually fighting against the Lord. All right? So he says here, wherefore the Holy Ghost has said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So the children of Israel had just gone from the land of Egypt across the Red Sea. They had seen the great things that God had done. And now God was telling them, let's go on over into the land of Canaan. And they were complaining about not having bread. And the Lord was speaking to them through Moses. And they were murmuring and they were complaining about, well, Moses, we don't see the point. And why do you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die? What they were doing with their complaints, with their murmuring, was hardening their hearts. That's what the Bible is saying here. It was justifiable if you heard, in their minds, it was justifiable. If you heard them speak about it, it seemed like, well, it just makes sense. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. Ain't got nothing to eat. We ain't got no water to drink. It's hot. We've been walking all this time. And the one person that maybe a person who not all of us have a lot of patience, do we? Well, he told us it was going to take us 3 days. We've been out here a week. Now what? And somebody else said something. And then before you know it, they were complaining to somebody else. What's the deal with Moses here? And they had forgotten about all what God had done. And as we do that, do you know, as we start complaining about what God is allowing to happen in our lives, don't complain about it. Get on your knees and pray about it. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be in a position that you're allowing these people to do this to me. Folks will treat you bad. They will treat you bad. And you know what? What is your job? To treat them back and let them know where to rubber meets the road? Let them know how. Here's the line. You can't go any further. No, it's your job to pray. It's not your job to justify your position. It's not your job to justify why you ain't going to take this no more. It's your job to pray and say, Lord, give me the great change my situation or change me. One of the two needs to be changed. I need to be changed where I can accept it and I can do what you want me to do in the midst of this, or you need to change the situation. But you're spending some time with the Lord praying about it, and the Lord will give you direction and understanding as to what you're to do about it. All right? You don't have to take matters into your own hands. The Lord will do it for you. Now, let me tell you, there are times that the Lord will say to you, I want you to go and I want you to confront the issue. The Lord does that. I've had to do it myself. And oftentimes, you know, what I've learned, the Lord, people that don't have any problem with confrontation, do you know what the Lord generally tells them to do? I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to sit there, and I want you to take it. And I want you to pray about it. Well, Lord, I can stop this real fast. I know you can. But I want you to take it because I'm sanding you down. I'm wanting to get, there's a rough edge on you, and I'm smoothing you down. But you can say, Lord, I don't have to do that. And do you know what? If you do that, you'll harden your heart. And next time when you don't listen to the Lord, it'll be easier for you to not listen. And then before you know it, Lord, I don't need you. I got this one. You'll be taking all the matters into your own hands. And your heart will grow harder and harder. And you're a saint of God, too. Lord, help us. And you know what? If you're bashful and you're timid and you don't like confrontation, you know what probably the Lord will have you to do? Confront. Now, you go there, you say it sweetly, but I want you to say it. And this is what I want you to say. And this is how I want you to say it. You know, you pray about it and you tremble in your boots, but you do what the Lord said, because if you don't, you're hardening your heart. Lord, help us. You with me on that? Because the Lord said there's some steel, there's some iron that I need to get in you. You're always letting folks walk over you. And now what I want you to do, I'm gonna be your iron. I'm gonna be your confidence. This is what I'm gonna hold that confidence fast, firm until the end. Lord, I'm gonna be your Lord. I don't know what to say. No, you don't want to know what to say. But you know, sometimes the Lord will say, I'll tell you what to say when you get there. And then sometimes you're rehearsing in the mirror, Lord, if they say this, this is what I'm going to say, and if they do this, this is what I'm going to say. Have you ever done that? Lord said, just trust me, cast it on me. And then you get there, and you can't say anything that you had already rehearsed, and the Lord just puts words in your mouth, and He just handles the situation. That's just like the Lord, isn't it? But if we don't listen to His voice and don't hear His voice, we'll harden our heart just ever so slightly, and before we know it, it's just like you get calluses on your hand. Have you ever worked really hard and you go out there and work really hard, and what happens is that skin gets really tough, doesn't it? Women probably don't like doing that. Men, we do it all the time, don't we? And that's what our heart does. It grows calluses on it if we don't listen to the Lord and we're not obedient to what the Lord tells us to do when He tells us to do it. All right? When your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They, that generation, an entire generation of people that the Lord was displeased with. The Lord had done miraculous things. Do you know we can lose our generation? But do you know what? I believe in our generation, there's not a lot of folks, maybe, I don't know, a lot of people, and you say a lot of people in the context of how many people there are in the world, you can have a million people and it still not be very many. But here's the point that I want to make. I believe that there's going to be a remnant that the Lord has. Yes. And we can just stand firm and true and hold our confidence no matter what everybody else is doing. I'm not concerned about that. The Lord has helped me. You know, we've all come, you know, how was it, Peter? It says, Lord, what shall this man do? And he said, well, what is that to thee? If I would that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. So the Lord we may look at the other man and say, well, Lord, what are they going to do? They're not doing it. Well, why do I have to do it? That's between them and you don't know how the Lord's dealing with another person. You don't know what that other person is going through. You don't know how happy or unhappy they are. Not really, not down in the depths of your heart. All you need to do is hold your confidence firm, steadfast, unto the end. You do that, you'll come out all right. All right? All right. They do always err in their heart. They have not known my way, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Well, Lord, I know it's hard to trust you, Lord, and we act like it's okay. We act that like a lack of faith is okay in our generation. I can't believe, you know what, when you realize and you understand that you have some unbelief in one sense is, I've made up in my mind, I can't trust the Lord for this and I'm not going to trust Him. These people decided that we're not going to trust Him for whatever it is that we need. I know that there are times that we go through that our faith is sorely tested and we go to the very limit of what we can embrace from the Lord. The Lord understands that, but our heart is, Lord, I want more. I want to have a deeper level of faith. I mean, Lord, this is where I am right now. And what I say to people, don't live beyond where you are. Don't try to live here when you're only here. Because you'll damage your own self. You'll damage your faith when you're trying to live like old brother so-and-so or old sister so-and-so and you ain't there yet. Lord, help us to know where we are. I'm 12 years old spiritually and I'm going to act like a 12-year-old, but I'm not going to stay 12, you can say. I'm going to be an adult at some point. I'm going to grow out of this, Lord, by your grace and by your help. I'm going to hold steadfast, firm in my confidence in you, steadfast until the end. And Lord, I'm not going to have a spirit of unbelief. I'm not going to let it rule and reign in my life. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. The things that you're allowing to happen in my life, Lord, I'm going to believe that you're allowing them for a reason, and I'm going to trust you in the midst of it. I'm not going to have a spirit of unbelief. I'm not going to allow it to rule my life. What did the man say that he came to a place where his son was sorely vexed with the devil in Mark? And he said, the Lord says, if thou canst believe all, he said, if thou canst do anything, Lord, have mercy on us and help us. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. They said, Lord, I believe. I believe to a certain extent. I believe as far as I can, and this man is honest. Lord, I believe as much as I can, but Lord, there's a part of me that still hasn't been able to grasp it. Lord, help that part of me. And that man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord did something for that man and for his family and his faith. The Lord increased his faith right then and there. And he saw the Lord heal his son as a result of him saying, Lord, I'm not going to try to play like I got all the faith in the world. You know where I am, Lord. You know that I believe, Lord, but I only believe this much. And in order to have what I need to believe this much, Lord. You've got to help me between here and there. That's unbelief, Lord. Now help them down what I can't grasp. And the Lord, what did the Lord do? The Lord was appreciated his honesty, reached out, grabbed his son, and healed his son. The Lord will do the same thing for us. All right? But it says here, take heed, brethren. It's talking to the saints here. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart. An evil heart. An evil heart. Well, I wouldn't call it evil, Lord. It's just, but he says it's evil. Heart of unbelief. So what do? We seek the Lord. Lord, help me. Help this part of me that you are calling me to a higher place. And Lord, I'm going to go there by the grace of God. I'm going to go there. Help thou mine unbelief. Evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. So we are in to encourage each other. And an evil heart of unbelief is, listen, I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. And this is what has come to some people. You come to a difficult trial, and I've heard people, as a pastor, you hear a lot of things. You hear people that get upset at God. for allowing something to happen in their lives. Well, if the Lord really loved me, I've been praying and he's not answering my prayer. And I don't understand why he's not answering my prayer. I don't understand that. And I can see at the beginning, there's a seed that the enemy has planted that's growing, that there's something coming between them and the Lord, but they can no longer trust the Lord. Instead of them saying, I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayer, they need to go, get down, Lord, where am I? What is it that you want me to do? Lord, what is it about me? Is there something that I need to change? Is there some condition that I haven't met? Lord, give me patience to wait on you. Give me patience to go through this as long as I need to go through it. Lord, have mercy on me. I know we can go through some trials that are wearing, and you're in pain or suffering, or you're in something that you can't see to know any light at the end of the tunnel. You've got to keep on believing and hold on to your faith and your confidence in the Lord firm until the end. You've got to keep holding on. You can't say, Lord, you know what? And I've seen people give the Lord up simply because he didn't do something that they thought he should. Do you know what that is? That is exalting ourselves against the knowledge of God. The brother brought out in Sunday school, God is a know-it-all. He knows everything. He knows what's best for you. He knows what you don't need. He knows what you do need. And he's going to only give you what is best for you. And he's going to get you to heaven the shortest distance possible. I believe that with all of my heart. All right, so don't harden your heart. We are made partakers of Christ. Now, do you notice the word if? The sixth verse, we have that. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. 14th verse, we says here, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We have to hold the beginning of our confidence all the way through, saints. Just like you got it when you first got saved, you got to keep holding it. You know, it's exciting. The Lord does something for you the first few years or the first few months of salvation, doesn't he? It's all exciting. It's new. It's something that you can just, it's just so wonderful and so good, isn't it? And you want everybody to know about it. You want to know, look what the Lord did for me. But what happens when the trials come? When you go over, when they got out of the land of Egypt, the children of Israel, they got out of the land of Egypt, all the burden that fell off their back, and it's just wonderful, and the rejoicing as they marched forward, and then they came to the Red Sea. And then they saw the Egyptians coming behind them. And they saw the Red Sea in front of them and mountains on every side. Now they're all hemmed up. What are we going to do now? And then Moses goes and he prays to the Lord. The Lord makes a way when there is no way. He makes a way. And he prayed and he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you this day. Do you know, sometimes we need to just be still and watch what the Lord is going to do. The Lord is able to do everything. And so Moses hold up the staff and here comes a way out of no way. And the Lord gets them to go going on the cross. Do you know what? Every trial that you've ever been through, it's like the part in the Red Sea. It seemed like it was hard and we didn't know what we were going to get, how we were going to do it, but the Lord made a way for you, didn't he? Now you got to hold on to that. You got to hold on to the memory of it. You got to hold on to your trust in the Lord. You got to hold on to the difficult things that you went through and you know you went through them, and now you got to hold on steadfast to the end. Because we know somebody that when they got to the Red Sea, they were saying, you know what, we ain't going to get through this. Ain't no way to get through it. So you know what? I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to try to swim across. Folks do it. And then they're upset because God didn't come and get them out of the I told you all the way. I told you to stand still. I didn't say jump and swim. I said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But I'm going to take this into my own hand. Somebody got to do something. Well, you know, we feel in our minds sometimes that waiting on the Lord is a passive thing. It's not passive, it's active. I am actively trusting you, Lord, because you said you were going to come to my rescue. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going to hold on to that. You said you'd be with me all the way to the end. You said that, and I'm going to hold on all the way to the end. I'm going to hold on all the way to the end. And when we do that, there has never been a person that can say that God failed us. All of us could say that we fail God in some way or another, at some point in our lives, no doubt. But we can never say that God has failed us. We can say we misunderstood Him, we misheard Him, we misrepresented Him, we misdid a whole lot of other things, but we cannot say that God has failed us. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Exodus the 16th. We're going to read a little bit about that. Exodus 16, verse 1. Yes. On the 15th day of the second month. Yes. Whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When at least we had had some food in our stomachs. We could have died back then and been happy about it. Now they done brought us all the way out here, and they told us to trust them. And you know, somebody started. And I wonder who was the one that started the complaint. Have you ever heard somebody? They don't say very much. They might just say, Somebody say something. Have you ever said, well, Moses said that we're going to eat something tomorrow, and we're going to do. Somebody's trying to. Maybe they're struggling with their belief, and there might somebody saying that, and then somebody saying, That's what he said yesterday. Barely, you understand what I'm saying? That's what murmuring is. Somebody said something positive, and well, you know what? I believe that the Lord took us to the Red Sea, and I believe Moses and Aaron know what they're doing, so I'm gonna trust them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's what murmuring is. You know the definition of something said quietly. That's what a murmuring is. Something said quietly. Something said that is either very quiet. This is the dictionary definition. Something that is either said very quiet or sounds indistinct. So you can say, behind somebody saying something positive. And what does that say? That says you don't agree with it. And then what happens with that person? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, that's what you believe. What did he say yesterday? Yesterday it was the same thing. We were trusting him yesterday. And all this is probably a legitimate thing. I don't know what happened, but you allow me to reenact the conversation. And then before you know it, you thought, yeah, the Red Sea, that was last month. Now we were supposed to be over in the land of Canaan in three days, and now we've still been there for a month. You do the math. This is what we say, isn't it? So here's my point. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, against Aaron in the wilderness. So what can happen is there can be a contagion that is contagious. When you start complaining, what do? You don't find somebody that don't want to hear it. You don't complain to somebody that don't want to hear it. You find somebody that's sympathetic to your ear. Somebody that's not quite settled on what's going on. And so you begin to complain, and then they complain to somebody else. And before you know it, it spread throughout the whole congregation. And do you know, you can find somebody to complain about. And this is what generally happens. What happens a lot of times is you can't complain against God, so you complain against those that are in leadership positions. You know, Obama, all these folks that were so upset about Obama getting into the presidency, how they been praying for him? Look, it don't matter if Romney would have been in there. Whatever's going to happen will happen. The Lord is in control. And so we're complaining about, folks complaining about Obama getting a second term, and they're all disgruntled and murmuring and complaining about it when the Lord allowed it to happen in the first place. The Lord didn't make a mistake. He knows what He did. Now, I'm not going to put politics in here. But what we tend to do, the reason Obama is in here I am talking about politics, is because of what Bush did, isn't it? Everybody complained about Bush. Everybody complained that this economy is a result of him, and now they're complaining that it's a result of Obama. You can't win for losing. Y'all still with me? All right. So the whole congregation begins to complain. Then you get to having a, if you're around, let's just say this for, since we're talking about politics, if you went around a bunch of Democrats, they're going to support their president. Well, there's some things they don't like about him, but he's done this. And
around a bunch of Republicans they're going to talk about, right? So it depends on who you're around as to what you hear. Spiritually speaking, it depends on who you're around as to what you hear. You need to surround yourself with positive thinking people, people that are spiritually minded, people that are praying, and when they see a situation that needs that is not a good situation, rather than talking about it, they're praying about it. Not calling on the phone and saying, do you know what such and such did? Unless that person can pray. Do you know sometimes people tell folks that ain't even saved about problems and issues that are going on? You shouldn't do that. That's going to have an effect on those individuals. Lord, help us. Keep those things to yourself. You pray about those things and you ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy in this situation. You know, there are going to be problems in the church. You know why? Because there are folks, there are people in the church. And some folks are carnal. They don't know. Some don't know no better. They don't know any better. If they knew some better, they would do better. And you would say, well, they know you're not the judge and you don't know that person's heart. But it is your job and your responsibility to find a place of prayer and pray for those people that the Lord would have special mercy on them. All right? They're coming. They're 12 year olds. Do you have problems with your 12-year-olds? Anybody have problems with their 12-year-olds? They're sweet children. They may be saved. They may be sweet children. But you're going to have some problems with them. Your mama had problems with you when you was 12. Things you didn't see quite right. Right? Let's go a little further. I'm going to bring this to an end shortly. But there's some points I feel like the Lord wants us to bring out. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hands of the Egyptians in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Read. Then saith the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven from you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but it's against the Lord. You know, folks like to talk about preachers and those in leadership. Do you know what? Not every time do we make wise choices and wise decisions in things. But you know what? One of the things, you know, our saving grace has to be that when you make a mistake, you humble your heart before whoever you have to humble your heart before. And you beg forgiveness and you ask, and then you're more careful next time that doesn't happen. I've had to do it myself. Maybe I didn't make some of the wisest decisions. In my heart was right. I believe that. And I believe that when you look back in the past and you see 2020, you think, you know what, that wasn't the best thing to do. What do? You go to those people. And the Lord has helped me to see you're never above. I don't care what position you're in. You're never above coming and apologizing to anybody. And saying, listen, I ask you to, I beg your pardon for how that happened. I didn't know. My heart was right and it was just a foolish thing to do, whatever it may be. And you know what? The Lord can soften people's hearts by your humility. And let me tell you, the way out of any problem, any situation, any disagreement, you know the best, the quickest and fastest way out of that disagreement? Humility. Lord, help us.
All right, so people murmur against, you know, they can't get mad at God, so they get mad at His representatives. They get mad at the church. Well, the church this, and the preacher that, and the saints this. Have you ever heard people complain about? Don't listen to that. I decided, you know what, I was one of those individuals that have been, my personality is very open, and if you have a legitimate complaint, it doesn't matter who it's coming from. I tend to try to listen, I tend to hear your side and all that. And the Lord began to say, you know what, folks is coming and talking about saints in the church, You don't let them talk to you about that. If it's not constructive criticism, there's a difference between criticizing and constructive criticism. What are you doing about it? What is it that you're doing to remedy the situation? But generally, what happens in this murmuring and complaining, those folks are one, there's a seed that's been planted, and if they don't get it out of their heart, they're going to turn away and they're going to depart from the living God. I don't believe this is what they say. Y'all with me on this?
Amen.
And so, when you begin to find fault and you begin to complain, there's a reason for that. Because generally speaking, how we as we begin in Hebrews, it says, in departing from the living God, an evil heart of unbelief, generally speaking, those people have, there is something that they no longer want to do. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm going to find a reason not to do it. And the way that I find a reason not to do it, you know, I've said this many times from the pulpit, we cannot do wrong without justifying it. The Lord made us where all we could do is right. You understand what I'm saying? We can make the choices, but we have to justify every wrong that we do. And so what happens, if you want to leave the church, you have to find fault with it. Well, there's too many hypocrites in the church, so I'm not going to church anymore. But the Lord said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some be. And so when you find that there is a group of people that, and I had no intention of saying all this, but I believe the Lord is bringing this out. This is just some solid instruction for us. When you find that there's a group of people whose heart is right, who have a desire to live for the Lord, who have a desire, and you know it in the depths of your being, that they want to please the Lord, they're not just doing this for show. These folks are serious about the matters of their soul. They're going to go all the way to the end. When you find that group of people, that little remnant of people, it may not be many, but you stand there and you do what the Lord would have you to do. All the way to the end. You don't enter into complaints and murmuring and complaining. Let's go to another scripture here. John 6 and 41 through 43. Read that for us. We started kind of late, so I know I'm preaching a little longer today, but it's about... Yeah, 6 and 41. Jews then murmured at him because he said, this is Jesus. He's talking. Now again, all of this is tied in together. He said, he's giving the children of Israel the bread that's going to come down. He's going to feed them bread from heaven. He's talking about himself. And then, of course, that was manna. It was in the literal sense. But now he's talking about, I am the bread. I'm what is to sustain you. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven.
They said. Jesus, the son of Joseph.
Who is this?
Don't we know
him?
How is he saying
he came down from heaven? I know your mother. I know your mother. I know your father. And you're saying that you came down from heaven? Oh, no, I can't listen to that. I can't hear him. You hear what he said? I was there shortly after he was born. No doubt. All right, read.
Jesus
therefore answered and said unto them,
murmur not
among yourselves.
No man can come to me.
All right, that's good enough. I want to read what the Amplified, I think it brings out a very good point here. Now the Jews murmured and found fault with and grumbled about Jesus because he said, I am myself the bread that came down from heaven. They kept asking, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We know this fellow. How then can he say, I have come down from heaven? So Jesus answered them, stop grumbling and saying things against me to one another.
Just stop grumbling and complaining. That's what Jesus said. You know, sometimes that's what we need to say to folks. When folks are going to come to us and they're going to find fault, we need to say, stop grumbling. And you know what? They won't like you. Because I've had to do that and folks have turned against me as a result of that. But you know what? As long as they can find a sympathetic ear, they murmur and complain. And let me tell you what happens. That murmuring and complaining, generally there is some legitimate point that they're making. All right? Some point is legitimate. But it's out of context, generally speaking. So now if you put it in the full context of it, or if you put it in the context, oh, well, we need to be praying about this, and we need to ask the Lord to correct this thing that's wrong. If we begin to do that kind of thing, it's different. It's different about a complaint that way. But if you're in a setting where you're praying and you're having a good prayer meeting, yeah, you can tell what the problems are. You can tell the folks what the problems are so that they'll know how to pray. And I really mean that, not in a tongue-in-cheek way. I'm going to tell you this so you'll know how to pray. I've said that before, but what I'm saying is we can expound on some things, but it's constructive criticism, and we're going to do something about it. We're going to pray. I may not can do anything else, but I can pray about this situation. And I'm not helpless, and I'm not hopeless in it. And God's going to remedy it. And sometimes God allows
destruction to be all around us, and it seemed like there is no nothing coming together. But I'm praying, and I know if I hold on to this confidence firm to the end, God's going to do something about this. He's going to do something about the church. He's going to do something about the saints. He's going to do something about the ministry. He's going to do something about everything that everybody's complaining about if I hold fast my confidence firm to the end. You believe that? All right. So what happens? There are two voices and there are two choices. We hear one voice, it's the voice of the Lord saying that this is the way I want you to go. And then we hear another voice that's complaining about it. And we have a choice to listen to one voice or the other. And what happens is when people begin to complain, they find a sympathetic voice, they find someone that is sympathetic to their complaint, and they begin to speak to that person. And before you know it, they test the water, and they go, you know, with a, well, I don't know about all that. And then you say, well, what do you think? And then before you know it, they're emboldened. And as they're emboldened, it affects you. And this is why I don't listen to a lot of folks complaining that it's unconstructive criticism. Don't listen to unconstructive criticism about you, about anybody else, not even about the president. Pray for him. If you don't like him, pray for him. It's a call to prayer. If you don't like how things are going, it's a call to prayer. All right. Yeah, I'm almost done here. No, you know what? I'm really only halfway done. But I'm going to bring out another point here. Daniel, let's go to Daniel 6 and 3. I'm going to try to bring it to an end, though. 6 and 3.
Then this Daniel was comforted in the presence of the princes.
Yes.
Because an excellent spirit was in him.
Yes.
And the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
The king thought to set him over the whole realm. They sought to find occasion against Daniel
concerning
the kingdom.
They
should find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither any error or fault found in him.
Then said these men,
we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, you know what? I want to say this. When the Lord starts using you, there are going to be people that are jealous and envious of you. There are going to be people that are jealous and envious you on the job. And the Lord blesses you and begins to promote you. Expect it. And you know what they're going to find? Some will try to find some occasion to come against you. Your job is to hold firm to the end, just like Daniel did. They're going to find some way that they're going to try to destroy you. And folks do it. They'll try to they'll lift you up and then they'll try to pull you right back down. But you hold firm unto the end and the Lord will take you through that. All right, I want to read another scripture. Hebrews 6 and 13. And then someone get us 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Someone get us 1 Peter 5 and 8 as well. Hebrews 6, 13 through 19. Have Hebrews, go ahead and read it. Yes? He could swear. Yes. He swore by himself. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Yes. Yes, the end of all strife. More abundantly to the heirs of the promise, immutable ability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. All right? That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. So our hope. Do you have hope in the Lord that you can hold on to the end? If you don't have any hope, this is why people are putting guns to their head. They have no hope.
But if you can hold on to hope steadfastly, and the Lord's going to take you out of the problems that you're in. And what does it do? It anchors our souls. What it, to me, it's like taking an anchor and throwing it up into heaven and just hold, making a line taut, and Lord, I'm going to hold on to this until you bring me up, Lord. Till you bring me up there. The other part of my hope is over on the other side. We can do that by the grace and help of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 8.
Be sober,
be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All right, so we resist. We have steadfast hope all the way to the end. We resist all the way to the end, knowing that the same afflictions that I'm going through, somebody else is going through it, and they've gone through it with victory. Our last verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren,
be steadfast.
Unmoved.
Don't move. Don't
always
move.
Always
abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
For as much as you know,
your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast to the end. Hold your confidence all the way to the end. Don't just get, you didn't get saved. It didn't make sense. Just to get saved for a little while, for 10 years, 20 years.
Right.
If you're not going to go all the way, ain't no use in you doing it. Because it's the same result. If you live 20 years saved and give the Lord up, it's the same result as if you never did it. So, what's the point? The point is, you got to be all the way to the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Pray for me.
Let us stand. Have a number.